Holy Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he woke up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" They were all filled with great awe, terrified actually, and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated, and I'll invite the children to come up front for a children's message and get our view correct. For those who are at home, good to see you. You guys want to come on up? Awesome. Good to see that you're here. Good to see that the rest of you are here from home watching on. I see you. I'm not sure if you're waving to me, but I'm going to take it anyway. So today I got something to show you. This is my very first, at least I think it's my very first, remote control car. And I saved it because it was the first one. I'm not even sure Radio Shack is a place anymore, but if not, that's where this came from. So it was so much fun to actually take this car and have this remote control and zoom it all around the house. And then when Mom and Dad got upset with that, I would take it outside and zoom it up and down the driveway and all around. It didn't go too far in the grass, but it was so much fun to actually control this little car and move it all over the place. You know what it's like to have control over things, right? I mean, even at home, we have our TV remote controls where we can sit back in our chair and search all the channels, turn it on, turn it off, turn the volume up, turn the volume down. We have gentlemen up there controlling everything that's going on today. They have control over everything that we see. It's fun to have that control over certain things, right? Uh-oh. Oops. Please stand by. Okay, we're good. We're back. Well, that just goes to prove as much control as we think we have, we don't always have control over everything, right? But we do have control over how we care for each other, how we love each other, how we protect each other, right? You guys are doing it right here, right now. You're wearing your masks, right? That's a way that we can show that we care and love each other, right? When we get mad at somebody, it's always easy to get mad back. But the hard part, the part that we can try to control, is to remember that we should be nice to one another and that we should care for one another. Not everything is in our control. We try to do our best, but we need to remember that God is always in control, even when we think God's not there. All right, so let's pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you. You are awesome and we love you. Thank you for being in control of our lives, that we are always loved so that we can love others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, you can have a seat. Thank you for coming up. Good to see all of you on line there. All right, one more try. There we go. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this wonderful day. All right, I'm going to ask you something out of the ordinary. Close your eyes for a moment. Imagine your favorite place on earth. Now, imagine being in your favorite place on earth. You can go ahead and keep your eyes closed. Now, as you are in your favorite place on earth, ask yourself, what makes this your favorite place? Is it the people that you are around? Or is it your favorite place because there's no one around? Is it the location or the scenery around you? Is it the sounds that draw you to this place or the lack of sound? Is your favorite place, is this your favorite place because of what you hear, smell, taste, see, touch, as you imagine yourself in it? Or is there a spiritual, more deeper feeling you have when you experience this place? How do you feel when you are in this location? Okay, you can open your eyes, unless you already fell asleep, in which case, God bless you, you needed to sleep. If you are awake and still with us, I wanted to begin this sermon with this exercise because verse 30 of today's psalm, it captured my attention all week. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. What is your desired haven? What is our Savior Lutheran Church's desired haven? Do we know? How often do we ask ourselves to define our desired haven? 2 weeks ago, this Sunday, I was on vacation down in Florida. And after going to church that Sunday with my in-laws, we decided to go to the beach. It was a great day. It was the first time our son Connor was able to swim in the ocean. And our whole family would walk out into the water and then body surf back to shore. And I can say in some ways, to be with my family, that was a desired haven. After all, I'm on vacation. I'm with my family and was able to shed some of the regular responsibilities that come with my call here at church. And those breaks are important, just as they are important for all of us, to receive a hiatus from our regular responsibilities and pause from regular life. Yet the psalmist is proclaiming a piece of spiritual quietness. As God delivers people to their desired haven, in this psalm, the Hebrew word for quiet is shothak, and it translates as because they be quiet. And isn't that why we take our breaks and vacations? To bring quiet to our busy, chaotic lives? I know that's part of my thinking when I head on vacation, dreaming of my desired place, to be less busy and definitely less chaotic. But I wonder, as we hear these stories of Jesus in his early ministry talk about the kingdom of God, maybe this soulful quietness found in our desired havens is meant to consume us on a regular basis, most certainly more than just a few weeks a year. At the beginning of Mark's gospel, the first thing Jesus said as he begins his ministry is, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the kingdom of God." This is the whole premise which Jesus brings to a chaotic world. And of course, Jesus learns very quickly that it's not always peaceful. It's a hard, chaotic world to escape from. In the short time that Jesus proclaims this, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near, and our reading this morning, he has called his first disciples, healed several people, including Simon Peter's mother-in-law, began his teaching, been confronted by the Pharisees at least twice, finally appointed all 12 disciples, been accused of or that Beelzebub was working through him, and then he continues teaching. And when evening finally comes, he calls the disciples to cross the sea. It was a remarkably busy, noisy, chaotic few days. Jesus gets into the boat, exhausted, and falls asleep. Yet, right before this, Jesus was teaching the parables. Last week, we heard Jesus proclaim the kingdom of God was like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds. Yet when sown on the ground becomes the greatest of all shrubs, so that all the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. I cannot help to think the shade of the kingdom of God is the quietness that we seek in our desired havens. It is more than a favorite vacation spot. We search for it, yet it seems to find us more than we find it, because God's kingdom is always near to us, and it's all around us, all the time. But we have difficulty imagining God's kingdom because of all the chaos around us, which is engulfing us. Like the disciples engulfed in the storm of today's reading, the disciples were taking Jesus across to the other side of the lake. Yes, I got to point this out. Jesus is not taking them. It says, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowds behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And even though they took Jesus, the storm still comes up upon them. And of course, as things get out of control, as life often does, even when we have Jesus with us, as the waves of uncertainty threaten our lives, we ask God, "Do you see what is happening? Can't you, or do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus responds by rebuking the wind and silencing the sea. "Peace, be still." But the more amazing lesson, the other thing that points to the opportunity to find the kingdom of God all around us, is what Jesus asked the disciples after calming the sea and the wind. "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Which may sound insensitive coming from Jesus, especially hearing about the traumatic experience the disciples were going through. But Jesus wants them to realize that no matter what goes on, no matter what they're going through, during the storms of life, God is with them. The kingdom of God is close. Hear the good news and believe it. There is shade for all the birds in the air. And you might be thinking, "Back up, preacher man. The disciples were lucky enough to have Jesus himself in that boat." There have been many times when we have gone through and we have prayed during life's storms, and nothing seems to change. What about climate change and world hunger and the pandemic, not to mention future pandemics and illnesses and our nation's polarity and equal rights for black, brown, yellow, red, the LGBTQ plus community? You know, all the birds of the air. What about everyday stressors of what people think about me and what I think about them? And will I get the job that I want? And what about this advertisement that tells me I must use this shampoo to be successful, or drive this car so I have no worries, or put this much money back in that fund so that I'll have enough money when I retire? Jesus is responding, "Peace, be still." Jesus never said that this was going to be easy. He said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." "Why are you afraid?" asks Jesus. "Where is your faith?" Which, let me remind you, only needs to be the size of a mustard seed to move mountains. God's kingdom is near and all around us. Our call is to quiet those chaotic voices which prevent us from seeing and imagining our desired place in the kingdom of God. This is the part that's not easy, but possible as we listen to what Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians. He writes, "See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. As servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance and afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, laborers, sleepless nights, and hunger." Paul and the disciples ultimately understand in all of life's chaotic hardships, God's kingdom is near and all around them. They knew their faith. The gift from the Spirit is what connected them to God and God's kingdom. And in response, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, they commended themselves as followers of God. They responded to God's love and worked to tell others about God's kingdom. All of the birds in the air are welcome in the shades of God's love. Scripture continues, and to me it sounds as if they are describing their desired place. We are treated as imposters and yet are true. As unknown and yet we are well known. As dying and see, we are alive. As punished and yet not killed. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. As poor yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing everything. And is this not true for everyone? No matter the color of our skin, our sexual orientation, our gender identity, our political affiliation, no matter where we were born, is this not our true desired haven? To be true to who God created us to be well known in God's kingdom, to be alive in God's kingdom, to rejoice in God's kingdom, to make many rich in God's kingdom, to have nothing yet possess everything in God's kingdom. I ask you again, what is your desired haven? What is Our Savior Lutheran Church's desired haven? Do we know? How often do we ask ourselves to define the kingdom of God here and now? God's faithfulness to us is the promise of God's kingdom for all of us, a gift of grace given through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Our faithfulness to God is to remember this promise in and through our chaotic lives and to make sure that all others remember it as well. Amen.